This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. Suspicious looks, hurtful words, verbal aggression, all the way to acts of physical violence. Since the beginning of the crisis caused by the spread of COVID-19, we have been hearing from people across the country who identify as Asian American about this kind of behavior being directed toward them. At the core seems to be the determination by some to blame Asian Americans falsely for the spread of COVID-19. You've reached out to us with questions and concerns on this subject, so we have invited Erica Lee. She's a professor of history at the University of Minnesota and author of America for Americans, A History of Xenophobia in the United States. Professor Lee, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's a painful but an important topic, and so we're glad you're here to talk with us about it. Today, former Vice President Joe Biden and Illinois Democratic Senator Tammy Duckworth, of course, former Vice President Joe Biden is the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, published an editorial criticizing President Donald Trump for racializing the pandemic and stoking xenophobia by using the term Chinese virus. I'm really interested in your take on this. Do you see this as kind of a bottom-up or top-down phenomenon? I mean, do you think that people who are prone to these beliefs are taking their lead from the White House, or is it the other way, possibly?
Oh, I think there's no mistake that statements like the Chinese virus repeatedly and deliberately used by the president and some of his cabinet members is stoking xenophobia and racism amongst the general populace. It's an action that goes against the advice and policy recommendations from the WHO. They say that we should avoid names that might result in discriminatory behavior against places or ethnic groups.
So now I want to turn to some of the stories that listeners have shared with us, and I'll just play them, and Professor Lee, you can tell me what you think if you have some thoughts about this. Here's the first.
My name is Sunyan Choi Morrow. I'm a resident of Chicago, Illinois. I am a mother of a five-year-old, and as you can imagine, we are pretty cooped up in a house in a little apartment in Chicago, and so I try to get her out for a walk every day, obviously practicing social distancing. I've definitely had people yell at me, telling me to go home or calling me China virus. And one of the times it did happen with when I was with my five-year-old, and it was a pretty scary experience for her and for me, just knowing that there was a stranger yelling at us across the street, and my daughter had no idea what was going on, and just don't feel like our community is safe for kids, for my kid at least. And I think that's a really sad reality of how people are racializing this pandemic and scapegoating Asian Americans.
First, I wanted to say thank you for sharing this story, and I want to thank all of the listeners who shared these experiences with us. I just think it's important for people to hear from people directly. Professor Lee, do you have some thoughts here?
Oh, it's just so sad and scary for both parent and child. You know, unfortunately, Sungyun's experience is becoming increasingly common. And I should add that, unfortunately, it's nothing new. You know, we just talked about the president stoking xenophobia and racism in the wake of the pandemic. But in fact, this has a much longer history that predates Trump by more than a century. China, Chinese people, Chinatowns have always been racialized as places of disease and contagion. And just recently, you know, we've seen how there have been around 2,000 anti-Asian hate crimes tracked since February. There's no indication that it's going to stop anytime soon. And I feel so strongly, so empathetically with Sungyun as a parent myself and for others who are worried about their children and their family members. I'd love to call out a recent article that was just published in the National Geographic that gives parents and others tips about talking to kids on xenophobia. For younger kids like Sunyan's daughter, there's so many more children's books out there that represent the broad range of Asian American experiences. I think it's important even for young kids to teach them about racism, stereotypes, falsehoods, to show them that this is part of a larger society, but also to show them that they are represented in children's stories and movies and TVs like they've never been before, and to give them a sense of self-worth and representation.
I was interested in your perspective as an historian that we have seen this before historically. That was interesting to note. Let me play another comment from a listener. This is Dr. Karen Tang. She's a gynecologist outside of Philadelphia, and she and some other Asian American doctors were part of a video where they shared messages to stop xenophobia and racism. Let's play it.
The idea for the video actually came apart because someone mentioned that there was a hashtag that was trending, I am not a virus. We felt like, oh, wouldn't it be amazing if we sort of had the perspective of healthcare workers and physicians who are also saying, you know, not only are we not the virus, but all Asian and Pacific Islander people, you know, we are not the stereotype that everyone's perpetuating. So in response to the video, so many of us had overwhelming support and positivity and agreement, but a lot of the physicians who were involved, who have a larger audience, received a lot of hateful comments, you know, like, oh, bat eater, and like, well, it came from the wet market, so your people are responsible. So we want to say that we understand that people are scared and they're hurting and they're looking for a target of their, you know, anxiety, and that they want to blame someone. But blaming Asian Americans, it doesn't achieve anything. It doesn't help anything. You know, us as healthcare workers, we're all here to try and help everyone and heal everyone.
Professor Lee, have you heard similar accounts, particularly from healthcare workers who are highly visible in as, you know, front-facing workers addressing this crisis, being targeted in this way?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the biggest ironies. You know, Asian American healthcare workers and other immigrant workers and minority workers are risking their lives, you know, to help and save others. And then they're targeted and vilified because of what they look like, and also being associated with China. You know, it doesn't work in the same way when someone is Norwegian American and to associate them with something that Norway has done. But you know, Asian Americans are just over 6% of the total U.S. population, but they make up something like 18% of the country's physicians, 10% of its nurse practitioners. We've long depended upon and recruited immigrant healthcare workers, from specialized doctors to nursing home assistants. And it's just, you know, like Karen said, there's nothing to be gained from blaming Asian Americans, but there's a lot that can be lost. Some of these workers, again, you know, are helping us stay safe, and maybe one of them, who is a medical researcher, may be finding the cure or vaccine that we all depend on.
I do want to mention that we've really only just scratched the surface. We receive many, many such accounts like this. And I did want to mention for the listeners and for you, Professor Lee, that those that we had the time to play really only represent a fraction of the accounts, the personal accounts, painful accounts that we heard from listeners. That's award-winning author Erica Lee. She's a professor of history at the University of Minnesota. Professor Lee, thanks so much for talking to us. I hope
we're
under better circumstances, but thank you for joining us.
Yes, thanks for covering this important topic.
Tomorrow on the National Conversation, with the general election just a couple of months, what questions and concerns do you have about voting? Send them to us at npr.org/national conversation. This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.